My name is Ed Hetherington. I know most of you know me, but for those of you who don't, I've been in the ministry for 15 years, and it does not seem that long. And I don't look in the mirror thinking I'm going to see this much gray hair either. I was ordained at Anderson Valley Christian Church. That's my home church. It's a wonderful little place. Totally unlike New Hope, but that doesn't offend me at all. I totally rocked out with you, had fun, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I married Sandy about 27 years ago, and we've recently gone on quite a journey together. It's been a learning experience at the hands of God. Shoot, I shouldn't have started this journey. Shouldn't have talked about that yet. Now I'm going to cry all over you. Yeah, I've got plenty right here. Got a box full. But my girlfriend got sick, and she had lung cancer. And man, you talk about really needing to have faith in God. I needed to have faith in God while she was going through that. And I know it sounds awful. I'm feeling sorry for myself. She's the one that was sick. But I had to go to work every day and leave her at home. And it was the hardest thing. But he carried us through. And he healed her through some amazing doctors and medical professionals. And if you pray about us at all, pray that he'll protect her from that ever coming back. Because I've grown far enough. I'm tired of it. A friend of mine has a little boy who suffers from brain cancer. And he's been through 3 rounds of brain cancer. And I was worried about my friend. I didn't know anything about Sandy and her disease coming up. And his boy was going through all these things, this treatment. And I asked him the question at work that we're not supposed to ask. I asked him about his faith in God. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, if it wouldn't be for God, I wouldn't be sane right now. He said, I'd probably kill myself already. And we got to talk. And I realized right then, we were put there, assigned to that line on purpose. And the things that I did, I had no idea what I was doing, supporting him, being his spokesperson. People would ask me how his son was doing because they didn't want to bring it up to him because they knew that hurt. And then when Sandy got sick, he did the same thing for me. I'm so glad to be here today. I'm so glad that's yesterday. And I'm so glad that I can talk about faith. Faith is a complicated subject. I want you to think about something. I want to ask you a question. How much of your life is lived in faith? Think about that. How much of your life is lived in faith? It's an interesting question. The best way to come up with an answer to that question would be to define what faith is. Can you tell me what faith is? Everybody will come up with a slightly different answer. Webster says faith is a belief or a trust that does not question or ask for proof. A belief or a trust that does not question or ask for proof. Faith. That's a pretty simple definition. I love that definition. Webster left it open-ended. And you can take this wherever you want to go, but it's a fair and good rendering of Hebrews 11:1, which states that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And you can see where Webster could get a belief or a trust that does not question or ask for proof. It's a funny thing, this life of faith that we lead. Faith infiltrates every corner of our lives. We all live by faith. If you're an atheist, you live by faith. In fact, if you're an atheist, you have more faith than I do, by a long ways. Think about what they have to believe. If they don't believe about God, that He is who He is. That's a long road. I don't want to go down that. I've got an example for you about living by faith. I'll talk about me a little bit because I don't want to get in trouble and talk about somebody else that I know. I learned that a long time ago. If you don't have permission, shut up. By faith, I get out of bed every morning and I put my bare feet onto this soft rug. It's always there. I know it's there. I believe it's there. It's there. It's wonderful. I don't hit a cold floor. I get out of bed. Sounds good, doesn't it? I know it's there. There's never a time that I wake up and I step on a tack strip or ice cubes. Never. A nice, soft, plush rug. Pretty simple. But that's faith. That's the essence of faith. I know while I'm putting my feet down what's there. I don't see it. It's still dark when I wake up. I'm struggling to find the alarm clock. But I know that rug's there. I don't have to see it. Unquestioning trust. By faith, we get into our cars and we turn a key or press a button, whichever you have, and it starts most of the time. But the point is, we believe that it's going to start, and that's why we're going out there and sitting in it, right? Yeah. Faith. Do you think about that before you get in your car? No. But you're living by faith. Because you think that by some silly little accident, when you turn this here thing, that that's going to fire up and take you somewhere. Faith. Pretty simple. By faith, we turn on the television at a certain time on a certain day, and there's a certain program that we know is going to be on. Monday Night Football. I miss football. But we know it's going to be on. And so we turn the television on. Wow, there it is. We don't question that. By faith, we've come together this morning, and I know you're hoping to hear a word from God. And I'm hoping He's going to give that to you. Because it doesn't have much to do with me, it has to do with Him. But we come together to hear from God, to feel His presence, because we know that God hears us when we pray. We know that He joins us as we worship. We know that He loves us because we're His children. We know that He saves us from our sins. And we know that He grows us in our hearts and minds and gets us ready to spend eternity in heaven with Him because He's our Father and He loves us. We know. We don't question that. We trust. Otherwise, we're lost. Now, I've got to ask you another question. Of all of those examples, the rug faith, the car faith, the TV show faith, or the God faith, which one is the easiest to grasp? Which one's harder? Probably harder to grasp the God faith because you can't see Him, because it's not very often that you feel Him moving. Sometimes you can. It's rare for me. Some people have a gift there. the God faith, the church faith. We need to experience more. This morning we were singing, and I was right in front of this man over here, and his voice was, wow. And I was moved in my spirit. And that was a God moment. I felt him moving in here. And I was like, man, I'm sure glad I'm here. We need to experience God more often. Talking about small groups making a difference. Experiencing God. Then your faith is more believable, even to people that aren't inside of you, married to you, in the same household with you, whatever. When you come to a church building and expect to find God to be real and His Word to be whatever it is that we really need, to be expectant of God to save us from our sins and grow us into the children that He's going to take into His heavenly home, for some of us, that's more of a leap than we might be ready for. Some of us aren't grown to that point yet. Some of us don't have that kind of a faith yet. I'll confess something to you right now. My wife has a greater faith than I do. She does. There are two types of faith. There's a faith that God gives everybody, and then there's a gift of faith. And that lady has the gift of faith. And I was left hungry and wanting, so I would go searching for God. He has a purpose in how He set me up. And I learned that. It was kind of a different awakening. I didn't want to stand in front of people and talk. But that was His idea. Now I've got to ask you, why is this church faith different from the rug faith? What is it that gets in our way? Why are we skeptical about God? Why do we put a barrier there? What is in us that keeps us from saying, okay, just like I put my feet on the floor in the morning and I don't hit a cold floor. Whenever I reach out to God, He's always there. Isn't He? Yes. Yes. Sometimes it's a tall order, you know, to raise our hands to God in worship, because the other 6 days of the week we're getting kicked in the stomach by life. You know, somebody that we love is very ill. Things are happening in our lives. Maybe our jobs are in turmoil. Whatever. It's hard to worship sometimes because of what happens around us. We let that influence us in our relationship to God. But all of us have highs and lows in this life, and that's one of those sure things that we can just count on. But I'm going to tell you, some of the most amazing servants of God have had the same issues, maybe worse than every one of us. And I'm going to read to you some scripture today. It's a pretty long passage. I hope you're ready for that. I hope you don't lose track. I hope you have your Bibles with you. We'll be in Hebrews chapter 11. But if you don't have your Bibles, that's fine. I want you to close your eyes, don't sleep, and listen to the scripture. Paying attention, because it was written to you by the hand of God through His servants. Hebrews 11, beginning verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Shazam. Did you get that? I'm going to finish reading this chapter in a minute, but wait a minute. What did he just say? Verse 13 says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. The reward for your faith in God is that trip through that door called death. You're carried to the throne and presented to your Father. The goal of your faith. I want you to get that. Carry that with you. Because when times are hard and life just stinks, you need that. I'm going to continue in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instruction about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith. People, we do everything by faith. There's nothing automatic in your life. That doesn't have to do with faith. It may not be faith in God. But you don't do anything without doing it by faith. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Some people say, well, that was the Sea of Reeds and it was shallow. Then, okay, when the army was following and they drowned, that was a miraculous thing. Whichever way you want to go with that. Reason that out. That's fine. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. The faithful of God. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all committed for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Now I want you to get this last part of this verse. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Their faith was in God being their salvation. And He provided that after their deaths. And someday, we're going to find out what all that means when we're together doing what Scripture says is being made perfect. Wow. I'm so messed up, I can't wait to be made perfect. God's got a little bit of work to do, I'm telling you what. Now, what is faith again? Let's talk about this a little bit. A belief or a trust that does not question or ask for proof. The substance, the essence, the reality of what we're counting on from God. It isn't presumption. Presumption is an evil. You ask any wife who's been taken for granted. Presumption is an evil. God doesn't like that attitude either. Guys, we got to get past that. Presumption is saying, okay, God's going to take me to heaven no matter what, and is never to seek God out personally and assume that you're going to be okay. But God doesn't work that way. He wants to know your voice. He wants for you to talk to Him in prayer. He wants for you to cry out to Him when you hurt. He wants to hold you up when you can't even walk. That's what He wants. And if you've never been there, you will be. We go about in this life thinking, I'm never going to suffer. Nobody I know is ever going to have that. Nobody's ever going to die on me. We live in a little shell that we've built up that doesn't have much to do with reality. And the fact is that all of us are going to face something terrible at some point in our lives. Something hard is coming our way. And it would do us well to be ready, have our faith in God, know how to talk to Him, and know how to lean on Him in advance. Even then, it's still hard sometimes. Yeah. God wants for you to hear about Him. He wants for you to believe in His integrity and seek Him out. He wants for you to count on Him as His child and not a perfect stranger. Our faith, our belief, our trust in God draws us towards Him. It should take us to His throne. That's His calling on our hearts. That's why He gave us that faith, so we would go looking. Steve's going to take me turkey hunting. I love to go out in the woods. I love to see God's creation waking up in the spring. So beautiful. Sometimes it's wet. You can't sit down without getting all wet. Who cares? Look around and see everything being resurrected from what looks dead. And you see God's power. He's amazing. He's an amazing God. Our faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11, is to be certain of what we do not see. Does that mean I have to be blind and stupid? Not at all. You can be an extremely intelligent person. You can be an extremely simple person. God has everything set up just for you. You can search for Him with all your might. I'm going to tell you something. I consider myself to be mildly intelligent. And I read the revelation in the Bible. And every time I read it, I go, what? I didn't see that before. And I'm totally confused all over again. And it's a wonderful thing. I know I'm going to search that and never figure it out. He's going to have to tell me about it someday. I'm okay with that. But then again, approaching God in faith, Jesus said, you need to do that as a child in innocence. How wonderful that He set it up so that no matter who you are or what your capacity, you can see Him as your Father. That's pretty cool. There are no limitations. You don't have to have a certain GPA. You can find God no matter what. It's pretty neat. Boy, did I get off the subject. This is going to take an hour. But that's the essence of faith in God. We don't have to have all the information. We don't have to have all the details. What we do have to have in our minds is the track record of integrity that God has laid out. You can find that in your Bible. It's really easy. You just read about how He takes care of His people. How He disciplines them sometimes. But how He always saves and always loves. And you can be sure that when you're reaping the reward of your faith, that He's going to be there. When you need Him the most, He'll be carrying you along. All indicators point to God's absolute perfection. It's so far above what our minds can comprehend. His ways and rules dictated that He had to sacrifice His own Son for the sins of all mankind. For you, for me, for everybody. Can you comprehend that? I've searched and searched and searched. Why did Jesus go to the cross for me? Because God said so. I have to stop there. I can't find the reasons. I can't climb that mountain. I wasn't good enough, that's why. So I have to accept in faith God, based on what I do know and understand. I have to accept that He has a plan for me for all eternity. Now that takes care of verse 1 of our text today. That's so mean. Sometime when you have time, I want you to read through that and think about what all of those people did because of their faith. Your faith will cause you to do something. It's not a spectator thing where you come to church and listen to some guy make up fancy words. Your faith will cause you to do something. God gave you that so that you would seek Him and then find Him and learn from Him and then turn around and do something with it. Faith isn't to be still. It is to move. And to breathe, and to live, and to love. I loved your testimony. That's what it's all about. It is. This is a live group. God's pulling you in, pointing you in the right direction. It doesn't matter who stands up here, really. As long as they bring you the word. Your faith should cause you to move. We're not going to find that reward in this life for our faith in God most of the time. If you're a what have you done for me lately kind of person, you're going to probably be disappointed in God at some point. Because like I said earlier, you're going to hit a hard time. You're going to lose somebody that you love so much. You're going to watch somebody that you love suffer horribly. You're going to go through a fire, and you're going to wonder if you can get through it. Because that's how life is. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's going to be easy. It's going to be great once you're a Christian. You're going to be tested. You're going to be pushed on. And your faith will be refined. And you'll find God closer than ever. No reward in this life, usually. I'll wait. And I'll be reminded of that reality of my faith in God by the faith that I exercise every day of my life. In the meantime, as I get out of bed and I put my feet on that little rug, and it's soft and it's warm and it's good, and it's everything I need right then, except some coffee. An exercise of faith. Think about that when your alarm clock goes off. It's not all bad. Make sure that rug's there, not a tax strip. You'll be happier. That's my favorite act of faith, getting out of bed. I know that someday I'm going to wake up because God's going to tap me. Hey, get up. It's time to live. And I'm going to get out of whatever bed I'm in. It won't really matter because I'm going to step on some really soft clouds. Or maybe streets of gold. That sounds hard and cold, though. I prefer the cloud thought. And that's when I'll be rewarded for my faith. That's when I'll reap that. I'll be in the presence of God, the author of love. There's nothing better than that. There's no greater goal in your life than that. The goal of your faith, salvation in Christ.